Mr. Ratman? Minho asked. My name is Assistant Director Jansen, he replied, his voice low and strained, as if it was hard work to stay calm. His eyes never left Thomas. Learn to show respect for your elders. You quit treating people like animals and maybe I'll consider it, Minho said. And why are you goggling at Thomas?
Ratman, Jansen, finally turned his gaze to Minho.
Because there are many things to consider. He paused, stood straighter. But very well. We said you could choose for yourselves, and we'll stand by that. Everyone come inside, and we'll get things started with those willing to participate.
Again, Thomas felt a shiver pass through his body. Their moment was coming. He knew it. And by the expression on Minho's face, he knew it too. They gave each other a slight nod and followed Ratman into the room. It looked exactly like the first one, with six beds, the hanging masks, all of it. The machine that evidently ran everything was already humming and chirping. A person dressed in the same green clothes as the doctors in the first room stood next to each bed. Thomas looked around and sucked in a breath. Standing next to a bed at the very end of the row, dressed in green, was Brenda. She looked way younger than everyone else, her brown hair and face cleaner than he'd ever seen them back in the Scorch. She gave him a quick shake of her head and shifted her gaze to Ratman. Then, before Thomas knew what was happening, she was running across the room. She grabbed Thomas and pulled him into a hug. He squeezed back, completely in shock, but he didn't want to let go.
Brenda, what are you doing? Jansen yelled at her. Get back to your post.
She pressed her lips against Thomas's ear, and then she was whispering, so quietly he could barely hear her.
Don't trust them. Do not trust them. Only me and Chancellor Page, Thomas. Ever. No one else.
Brenda!
The Ratman practically screamed. Then she was letting go, stepping away.
Sorry, she mumbled. I'm just glad to see he made it through phase three. I forgot myself.
She walked back to her post and turned to face them once again, her face blank. Jansen scolded her.
We hardly have time for such things.
Thomas couldn't look away from her, didn't know what to think or feel. He already didn't trust Wicked, so her words put them on the same side. But why was she working with them then? Wasn't she sick? And who was this Chancellor Page? Was this just another test? Another variable? Something powerful had swum through his body when they'd hugged. He thought back to how Brenda had spoken in his mind after he'd been put into the White Room. She'd warned him things were going to get bad. He still didn't understand how she'd been able to do that. Was she really on his side? Teresa, who'd been quiet since they left the first room, stepped up to him, interrupting his thoughts.
What's she doing here? She whispered,
the spite evident in her voice. Every little thing she did or said now bothered him.
I thought she was a crank.
I don't know, Thomas muttered. Flashes of all that time he'd spent with Brenda in the broken city filled his head. In a strange way, he missed that place, missed being alone with her. Maybe she's just throwing me a variable.
You think she was part of the show? Sent to the Scorch to help run things?
Probably. Thomas hurt inside. It made sense that Brenda could have been part of Wicked from the beginning, but that meant she'd lied to him over and over. He wanted so badly for something to be different about her.
I don't like her, Teresa said. She seems devious.
Thomas had to force himself not to scream at Teresa or laugh at her. Instead, he spoke to her calmly.
Go let them play with your brain.
Maybe her distrust of Brenda was the best indication that he should trust Brenda. Teresa gave him a sharp look.
Judge me all you want. I'm just doing what feels right.
Then she stepped away, awaiting the Ratman's instructions. Jansen assigned the willing patients to beds while Thomas, Newt, and Minho hung back and observed. Thomas glanced at the door, wondered if they should make a run for it. He was just about to nudge Minho when the Ratman spoke up as if he'd read Thomas's mind.
You three rebels are being watched. Don't even think about trying anything. Armed guards are on their way as we speak.
Thomas had the unsettling idea that maybe someone had read his mind. Could they interpret his actual thoughts from the brain patterns they were so studiously collecting?
"That's a bunch of clunk," Minho whispered when Jansen returned his attention to getting people settled on the beds. "I think we should take our chances, see what happens."
Thomas didn't answer, looked over at Brenda instead. She was staring at the floor, seemingly deep in thought. He found himself missing her terribly, feeling a connection he didn't quite understand. All he wanted was to talk to her alone, and not just because of what she'd said to him. The sound of rushed footsteps came from the hallway. Three men and two women burst into the room, all of them dressed in black, with gear strapped to their backs, ropes, tools, ammunition. They were all holding some sort of bulky weapon. Thomas couldn't stop staring at the weapons. They tugged at some lost memory he could just barely put his finger on, but at the same time, it was like seeing them for the first time. The devices shimmered with blue light. A clear tube in the middle was filled with shiny metallic grenades that crackled and fizzed with electricity, and the guards were pointing them at Thomas and his two friends.
"We've waited too bloody long," Newt snapped in a low, harsh whisper.
Thomas knew an opportunity would present itself soon.
"They would have caught us out there anyway," he answered quietly, his lips barely moving. "Just be patient."
Jansen walked over to stand beside the guards. He pointed at one of the weapons.
"These are called launchers. These guards will not hesitate to fire them if any of you cause trouble. The weapons won't kill you, but trust me when I say that they'll give you the most uncomfortable 5 minutes of your life."
"What's going on?" Thomas asked, surprised at how little fear he felt. "You just told us we could make this choice ourselves. Why the sudden army?"
"Because I don't trust you."
Jansen paused, seeming to choose his words carefully.
"We hoped you would do things voluntarily once your memories were back. It would just make things easier. But I never said we don't still need you."
"What a surprise," Minho said. "You lied again."
"I haven't lied about a thing. You made your decision, now live with the consequences."
Jansen pointed at the door.
"Guards, escort Thomas and the others to their rooms where they can dwell on their mistakes until tomorrow morning's tests. Use whatever force is necessary."
Chapter 8. The two female guards lifted their weapons even higher, the wide round muzzles pointed at the three boys.
"Don't make us use these," one of the women said. "You have zero room for error. One false move and we pull the trigger."
The three men swung the straps of their launchers over their shoulders, then moved towards the defiant gladers, one per boy. Thomas still felt an odd calmness, coming in part from the deep determination to fight until he couldn't anymore, and a sense of satisfaction that Wicked needed five armed guards to watch three teenagers. The guy who grabbed Thomas's arm was twice as thick as he was, powerfully built. He walked briskly through the door and into the hallway, pulling Thomas along after him. Thomas looked back to see another guard half-drag Minho across the floor to follow, and Newt was right behind them, struggling to no avail. The boys were hauled down corridor after corridor, the only sounds coming from Minho, grunts and shouts and curses. Thomas tried to tell him to stop, that he was only making it worse, that he was probably going to get shot, but Minho ignored him, fighting tooth and nail until the group finally stopped in front of a door. One of the armed guards used a key card to unlock the door. She pushed it open to reveal a small bedroom with two sets of bunk beds and a kitchenette with a table and chairs in the far corner. It certainly wasn't what Thomas had been expecting. He'd pictured the slammer back in the glade with its dirt floor and one half-broken chair.
"In you go," she said. "We'll have some food brought to you. Be glad we don't starve you for a few days after the way you've been acting. Tests tomorrow, so you better get some sleep tonight."
The three men pushed the gladers into the room and swung the door closed. The click of the lock engaging echoed through the air. Immediately, all the feelings of captivity Thomas had endured in the white-walled prison came flooding back. He crossed the floor to the door and twisted the knob, pulled and pushed with all his weight. He pounded on it with both fists, screaming as loudly as he could for someone to let them out.
"Slim it," Newt said from behind him. "No one's coming to bloody tuck you in."
Thomas whirled around, but when he saw his friend standing in front of him, he stopped. Minho spoke before he could put words together.
I guess we missed our chance.
He plopped down on one of the bottom bunks.
We'll be old men or dead before your magical moment comes rolling along, Thomas. It's not like they're going to make a big announcement. Now would be an excellent time to escape, because we'll be busy for the next 10 minutes. We gotta take some chances.
Thomas hated to admit that his friends were right, but they were. They all should have made a run for it before those guards showed up.
Sorry, it just didn't feel right yet.
And once they had all those weapons in our faces, it seemed kind of pointless to waste the effort trying anything.
Yeah, well,
was all Minho said. Then,
you and Brenda had a nice little reunion.
Thomas took a deep breath.
She said something.
Minho sat up straighter on the bed.
What do you mean she said something?
She told me not to trust them, to only trust her and someone named Chancellor Page.
Well, what's her bogan deal anyway?
Newt asked.
She works for Wicked?
What, was she just a bloody actress down in the Scorch?
Yeah, sounds like she's no better than the rest of them,
Minho added. Thomas just didn't agree. He couldn't even explain it to himself, much less to his friends.
Look, I used to work for them too, but you trust me, right? It doesn't mean anything. Maybe she had no choice, maybe she's changed, I don't know.
Minho squinted, as if he was thinking but didn't respond. Newt just sat down on the floor and folded his arms, pouting like a little kid. Thomas shook his head. He was sick of puzzling everything out. He walked over and opened the small fridge. His stomach was rumbling with hunger. He found some cheese sticks and grapes and divvied them up, then practically shoved his portion down his throat before drinking a full bottle of juice. The other two gobbled theirs as well, no one saying a word. A woman showed up soon after with plates of pork chops and potatoes, and they ate that too. It was early evening, according to Thomas's watch, but he couldn't imagine being able to fall asleep. He sat down in a chair facing his friends, wondering what they should do. He was still feeling a little chagrined, like it was his fault that they'd yet to try anything, but he didn't offer any ideas. Minho was the first one to speak since the food had come.
Maybe we should just give in to those shuck faces. Do what they want. One day, we'll all sit around fat and happy.
Thomas knew he didn't mean a word of it.
Yeah, maybe you can find a nice pretty girl who works here, settle down, get married, and have kids, just in time for the world to end in a sea of lunatics.
Minho kept at it.
Wicked's going to figure out this blueprint business and we'll all live happily ever after.
That's not even funny, Newt said grumpily. Even if they did find a cure, you saw it out there in the Scorch. It's going to be a buggin' long time before the world can ever get back to normal. Even if it can, we'll never see it.
Thomas realized he was just sitting there, staring at a spot on the floor.
After everything they've done to us, I just don't believe any of it.
He couldn't get past the news about Newt, his friend who'd do anything for someone else. They'd given him a death sentence, an incurable disease, just to watch what would happen.
That Jansen guy thinks he has it all figured out, Thomas continued. He thinks it all comes down to some sort of greater good. Let the human race kick the bucket or do awful things and save it. Even the few who are immune probably wouldn't last long in a world where 99.9% of people turn into psycho monsters.
What's your point?
Minho muttered.
My point is that before they swiped my memory, I think I used to buy all that junk. But not anymore.
And the one thing that terrified him now was that any returning memories might make him change his mind about that.
Then let's not waste our next chance, Tommy, Newt said.
Tomorrow, Minho added. Somehow, some way.
Thomas gave each of them a long look.
Okay.
Somehow, some way. Newt yawned, making the other two do the same.
Then we better quit yapping and get some bogan sleep.
Chapter 9. It took over an hour of staring into the dark, but Thomas eventually fell asleep, and when he did, his dreams were a slew of scattered images and memories. A woman sitting at a table, smiling as she stares across the wood surface directly into his eyes. As he watches her, she picks up a cup of steaming liquid and takes a tentative sip. Another smile.
Then she says, "Eat your cereal now. That's a good boy." It's his mom, with her kind face, her love for him evident in every crease of her skin as she grins. She doesn't stop watching over him until he eats the last bite, and she takes his bowl over to the sink after tousling his hair. Then he's on the carpeted floor of a small room, playing with silvery blocks that seem to fuse together as he builds a huge castle. His mom is sitting on a chair in the corner, crying. Thomas knows instantly why. His dad has been diagnosed with the flare, is already showing signs of it. This leaves no doubt that his mom also has the disease, or will soon. The dreaming Thomas knows that it won't be long before doctors realize his younger self has the virus, but is immune to its effects. By then, they'd develop the test that recognizes it. Next, he's riding his bike on a hot day. Heat's rising from the pavement, just weeds on both sides of the street, where there used to be grass. He has a smile on his sweaty face. His mom watches nearby, and he can see that she's savoring every moment. They head to a nearby pond. The water is stagnant and foul-smelling. She gathers rocks for him to toss into the murky depths. At first, he throws them as far as possible. Then he tries to skip them the way his dad showed him last summer. He still can't do it. Tired, their strength sapped from the stifling weather, he and his mother finally head home. Then things in the dream, the memories, turn darker. He's back inside, and a man in a dark suit is sitting on a couch. Papers in his hand, a grave look on his face. Thomas standing next to his mom, holding her hand. Wicked has been formed, a joint venture of the world's governments, those that survived the sun flares, an event that took place long before Thomas was born. Wicked's purpose is to study what is now known as the kill zone, where the flare does its damage, the brain. The man is saying that Thomas is immune. Others are immune. Less than 1% of the population, most of them under the age of 20. And the world is dangerous for them. They're hated for their immunity to the terrible virus, are mockingly called munis. People do terrible things to them. Wicked says they can protect Thomas, and Thomas can help them work to find a cure. They say he's smart, one of the smartest who have been tested. His mom has no choice but to let him go. She certainly doesn't want her boy to watch as she slowly goes insane. Later, she tells Thomas that she loves him and is so glad that he'll never go through what they witnessed happen to his dad. The madness took away every ounce of what made him who he was, what made him human. And after that, the dream faded, and Thomas fell into a deep void of sleep. A loud knocking woke him early the next morning. He'd barely gotten up on his elbows when the door opened and the same 5 guards from the day before came in with launchers raised. Jansen stepped into the room right after them.
"Rise and shine, boys," the rat man said. "We've decided to give you your memories back after all, like it or not."
Chapter 10 Thomas was still groggy from sleep. The dreams he'd had, the memories of his childhood, clouded his mind. He almost didn't catch what the man had said.
"Like hell you are,"
Newt responded. He was out of his bed, fists clenched at his sides, glaring at Jansen. Thomas couldn't remember ever seeing such fire in his friend's eyes. And then the full force of the rat man's words snapped Thomas out of his fog. He swung his legs around to the floor.
"You told us we didn't have to."
"I'm afraid we don't have much of a choice," Jansen replied. "The time for lies is over. Nothing's going to work with you three still in the dark. I'm sorry. We need to do this. Newt, of everyone, you will benefit the most from a cure, after all."
"I don't care about myself anymore," Newt responded in a low growl.
Thomas's instincts took over then. He knew that this was the moment he'd been waiting for. It was the final straw. Thomas watched Jansen carefully. The man's face softened, and he took a deep breath, as if he sensed the growing danger in the room and wanted to neutralize it.
"Look, Newt, Minho, Thomas, I understand how you must feel. You've seen some awful things, but the worst part is over. We can't change the past, can't take back what has happened to you and your friends, but wouldn't it be a waste to not complete the blueprint at this point?
Can't take back, Newt shouted. That's all you have to say.
Watch yourself, one of the guards warned, pointing a launcher at Newt's chest. The room fell silent. Thomas had never seen Newt like this, so angry, so unwilling to put on a calm front even. Jansen continued.
We're running out of time. Now let's go, or we'll have a repeat of yesterday. My guards are willing, I assure you.
Minho jumped down from the bunk above Newt's.
He's right, he said matter-of-factly. If we can save you, Newt, and who knows how many others, we'd be shuck idiots to stay in this room a second longer.
Minho shot Thomas a glance and nodded toward the door.
Come on, let's go.
He walked past Ratman and the guards into the hallway without looking back. Jansen raised his eyebrows at Thomas, who was struggling to hide his surprise. Minho's announcement was so strange, he had to have some sort of plan. Pretending to go along with things would buy them time. Thomas turned away from the guards and Ratman and gave Newt a quick wink that only he could see. Let's just listen to what they want us to do. He tried to sound casual, sincere, but it was one of the hardest things he'd done yet. I worked for these people before the maze. I couldn't have been totally wrong, right?
Oh, please.
Newt rolled his eyes, but he moved toward the door, and Thomas smiled inwardly at his small victory.
You'll all be heroes when this is over, Jansen said as Thomas followed Newt out of the room.
Oh, shut up, Thomas replied.
Thomas and his friends followed the Ratman down the maze-like corridors once again. As they walked, Jansen narrated the journey as if he were a tour guide. He explained that the facility didn't have many windows because of the often fierce weather outside and the attacks from roaming gangs of infected people. He mentioned the severe rainstorm the night the gladers had been taken from the maze and how the group of cranks had broken through the outer perimeter to watch them board the bus. Thomas remembered that night all too well. He could still feel the bump of the tires running over the woman who'd accosted him before he boarded the bus, how the driver didn't even slow down. He could hardly believe that had happened only weeks ago. It felt like it had been years.
I really wish you'd just shut your mouth,
Newt finally spat. And the rat man did, but he never wiped the slight grin off his face. When they reached the area they'd been in the day before, the rat man stopped and turned to address them.
I hope you will all cooperate today. I'm expecting nothing less.
Where is everybody else? Thomas asked.
The other subjects have been recovering.
Before he could finish, Newt had pounced, grabbing the rat man by the lapels of his white suit coat and slamming him against the nearest door.
Call them subjects again and I'll break your bloody neck!
Two guards were on Newt in an instant. They pulled him away from Jansen and threw him to the floor, aiming their launchers at his face.
Wait!
Jansen yelled.
Wait!
He composed himself and straightened his wrinkled shirt and jacket.
Don't disable him. Let's just get this over with.
Newt slowly got to his feet, arms raised.
Don't call us subjects. We're not mice trying to find the cheese. And tell your shuck friends to calm down. I wasn't going to hurt you. Much.
His eyes fell on Thomas, questioning.
Wicked is good.
For some inexplicable reason, those words popped into Thomas's mind. It was almost as if his former self, the one who'd believed that Wicked's objective was worth any depraved action, was trying to convince him that it was true, that no matter how horrible it seemed, they must do whatever it took to find a cure for the flare. But something was different now. He couldn't understand who he'd been before, how he could have thought any of this was okay. He'd changed forever. But he had to give them the old Thomas one last time.
Newt, Minho,
he said quietly before the rat man could speak again.
I think he's right. I think it's time we did what we're supposed to do. We all agreed to it just last night.
Minho broke into a nervous smile. Newt's hands balled into fists. It was now or never. Chapter 11 Thomas didn't hesitate. He swung his elbow backward into the face of the guard behind him, just as he kicked the knee of the one in front. Both fell to the floor, stunned, but recovered quickly. Out of the corner of his eye, Thomas saw Newt tackle a guard to the ground. Minho was punching another, but the fifth, a woman, hadn't been touched, and she was raising her launcher. Thomas dove for her, knocked the end of the weapon toward the ceiling before she could press the trigger, but she brought it around and smashed it into the side of his head. Pain exploded in his cheeks and jaw. He was already off balance and crumpled to his knees, then flat onto his stomach. He put his hands under him to get up, but a crushing weight fell on his back, slamming him to the hard tile and knocking the breath from his lungs. A knee dug into his spine, and he felt hard metal press against his skull.
"Give me the word," the woman yelled. "A.D. Jansen, give me the word. I'll fry his brain."
Thomas couldn't see the others, but the sounds of scuffling had already stopped. He knew that meant their mutiny had been short-lived, all three of them subdued in less than a minute. His heart ached with despair.
"What are you people thinking?"
Jansen roared from behind Thomas. He could only imagine how enraged the man's weaselly face must look.
"You really think three children can overpower five armed guards? You kids are supposed to be geniuses, not idiotic, delusional rebels. Maybe the flare has taken your minds after all."
"Shut up!"
Thomas heard Newt scream.
"Just shut your—"
Something muffled the rest of his words. Imagining one of the guards hurting Newt made Thomas tremble with rage. The woman pressed her weapon even harder against his head.
"Don't even think about it," she whispered in his ear.
"Get them up,"
Jansen barked.
"Get them up!"
The guard pulled Thomas to his feet by the back of his shirt, keeping the business end of the launcher pressed against his head. Newt and Minho were being held at launcher point as well, and the two free guards were training their weapons on the three gladers. Jansen's face burned red.
"Completely ridiculous. We absolutely will not allow this to happen again."
He spun on Thomas.
"I was just a kid," Thomas said, surprising himself.
"Excuse me?"
Jansen asked. Thomas glared at the rat man.
"I was a kid. They brainwashed me into doing those things, into helping."
That was what had been eating away at him since the memories had started coming back, since he'd been able to start connecting the dots.
"I wasn't there in the beginning," Jansen said in a level voice. "But you yourself approved me for this job after the original founders were purged. And you should know, I've never seen someone, child or adult, as driven as you were."
He smiled, and Thomas wanted to rip his face off.
"I don't care what you—"
"Enough!"
Jansen yelled.
"We'll do him first."
He gestured at one of the guards.
"Get a nurse down here. Brenda's inside. She's been insisting that she wants to help. Maybe he'll be easier to deal with if she's the technician working with him. Take the others to the waiting room."
"I'd like to do them one at a time. I need to go check on another matter, so I'll meet you there."
Thomas was so upset that he didn't even register Brenda's name. Another guard joined the one behind him, and they each took hold of an arm.
"I won't let you do it!"
Thomas screamed, a hysteria rising up in him. The thought of learning who he'd been terrified him.
"There's no way you're putting that thing on my face!"
Jansen ignored him and spoke directly to the guards.
"Make sure she sedates him."
Then he started walking away. The two guards pulled Thomas toward the door, his feet dragging behind him. He struggled, tried to free his arms, but their hands were like iron manacles, and he finally gave up to conserve his strength. The realization hit him that he might have lost the fight. His only hope was Brenda. Brenda stood next to a bed inside the room. Her face was stony. Thomas searched her eyes, but she was impossible to read. His captives yanked him farther into the room. He couldn't understand why Brenda was there, helping Wicked do this.
"Why are you working for them?"
His voice sounded weak to his ears. The guards spun him around.
"Better to just keep your mouth shut," Brenda answered. "I need you to trust me like you did back in the Scorch. This is for the best."
He couldn't see her, but there was something in her voice. Despite what she'd said, she sounded warm. Could she be on his side? The guards pulled Thomas to the last bed in the row. Then the female guard released him and aimed her launcher at him while the man held Thomas against the edge of the mattress. "Lie down," the guard said.
"No,"
Thomas growled. The guard swung back and slapped Thomas across the cheek.
"Lie down! Now!"
"No."
The man lifted Thomas by the shoulders and slammed him onto the mattress.
"This is going to happen, so you might as well not fight it."
The metallic mask with its wires and tubes hung above him like a giant spider waiting to smother him.
"You're not putting that thing on my face!"
Thomas's heart raced dangerously now, the fear he'd been holding at bay rushing in, beginning to take away any calm that could help him figure a way out of this. The male guard took both of Thomas's wrists and pressed them to the mattress as he leaned forward with all his weight to make sure Thomas didn't go anywhere.
"Sedate him!"
Thomas forced himself to calm down, save his energy for one last effort to escape. He almost hurt at seeing Brenda. He'd grown closer to her than he'd realized. If she helped force him to do this, it would mean she was the enemy as well. It was too heartbreaking to even consider.
"Please, Brenda," he said.
"Don't do it. Don't let them do this."
She stepped close to him and gently touched his shoulder.
"Everything's going to be okay. Not everyone is out to make your life miserable. You'll thank me later for what I'm about to do. Now quit your whining and relax."
He still couldn't read her for the life of him.
"That's it? After everything back in the Scorch? How many times did we almost die in that city? All we went through, and you're just going to abandon me?" "Thomas,"
she trailed off, not bothering to hide her frustration.
"It was my job. I heard your voice in my head. You warned me that things were about to get bad. Please tell me you're not really with them." "When we made it back to HQ after the Scorch, I got into the telepathy system because I wanted to warn you, prepare you. I never expected us to become friends in that hell."
On some level, just hearing that she'd felt that way too made things more manageable. And now he really couldn't stop himself.
"Do you have the flare?"
he asked. She answered in quick, short bursts.
"I was acting. Jorge and I are immune. We've known it for a long time. It's why they used us. Now be quiet."
Her eyes flickered over to the guard.
"Get on with it,"
the male guard suddenly shouted. Brenda gave the man a stern look but didn't say anything. Then she gazed at Thomas and surprised him with a slight wink.
"Once I inject the sedative, you'll be asleep in seconds. Do you understand?"
She stressed the last word, then subtly winked again. Luckily, the two guards were focused on their prisoner and not her. Thomas was confused, but hope ran through his body. She was up to something. Brenda moved to the counter behind her and started preparing what she needed, and the guard continued to lean all of his weight on Thomas's wrists, cutting off the circulation. Sweat beaded on the man's forehead, but it was clear he wasn't letting go until Thomas was unconscious. The female guard stood just beside him, her launcher aimed at Thomas's face. Brenda turned back around, a syringe in her left hand, its nozzle pointing up, her thumb on the trigger. A yellowish liquid showed in the small window on the side.
"Okay, Thomas. We're going to do this really fast. Are you ready?"
He nodded at her, not sure what she meant, but determined to be prepared.
"Good," she replied. "You better be."
Chapter 12. Brenda smiled and moved toward Thomas, then tripped on something and stumbled forward. She caught the bed with her right hand, but she fell in such a way that the syringe's nozzle landed on the forearm of the guard gripping Thomas's wrist. She instantly pushed the trigger with her thumb, releasing a quick, sharp hiss before he jerked himself away.
"What the hell?"
the man shouted, but his eyes were already glazed. Thomas acted instantly. Now free from those iron fists, he pushed down on the bed and swung his legs in an arc toward the female guard, who was just coming to her senses after a brief moment of frozen shock. One foot connected with her launcher and the other with her shoulder. She let out a yell, which was closely followed by the smack of her head hitting the floor. Thomas scrambled after the launcher, grabbed it before it slid out of reach, and aimed it at the woman, who was holding her head in her hands. Brenda had run around the bed and grabbed the man's weapon, and she pointed it at his limp body. Thomas gasped for air, his chest heaving as adrenaline throbbed through his body. He hadn't felt so good in weeks.
I knew you—
Before he could finish, Brenda fired her launcher. A high-pitched sound pierced the air, increasing in volume for a split second before the gun discharged and kicked, making Brenda jerk backward. One of the shiny grenades shot out, slammed into the woman's chest, and exploded, sending tendrils of lightning arcing across her body. She began to twitch uncontrollably. Thomas stared, stunned at what the launcher did to a person, and amazed that Brenda had shot it without hesitation. If he had needed further proof that Brenda wasn't totally committed to Wicked, he'd just seen it. He looked at her. She returned his gaze, the slightest of smiles on her face.
I've been wanting to do something like that for a long time. Good thing I convinced Jansen to assign me to you for this procedure.
She bent over and took the unconscious man's key card, slipped it into her pocket.
This'll get us in anywhere.
Thomas had to resist the urge to pull her into a hug.
Come on, he said. We have to get Newt and Minho, then everybody else.
They sprinted through a couple of twists and turns in the hallways, Brenda leading. It reminded Thomas of the time she'd led him through the underground tunnels in the Scorch. He urged her to hurry. He knew that more guards could show up at any second. They reached a door, and Brenda swiped the keycard to open it. A brief hiss sounded, and then the slab of metal swung open. Thomas burst through with Brenda close on his heels. The rat man was sitting in a chair but sprang to his feet, his expression quickly twisting to a look of horror.
What in God's name are you doing?
Brenda had already fired two grenades at the guards. A man and a woman dropped to the ground, convulsing in a cloud of smoke and tiny lightning bolts. Newt and Minho tackled the third guard. Minho grabbed his weapon. Thomas trained his launcher on Jansen and put his finger on the trigger.
Give me your keycard, then get on the ground, hands on your head.
His voice was steady, but his heart was racing.
This is complete lunacy, Jansen said.
He handed his card to Thomas. He spoke quietly, seeming amazingly calm under the circumstances.
You have zero chance of getting out of this complex. More guards are already on their way.
Thomas knew their odds were bad, but it was all they had.
After what we've been through, this is nothing.
He smiled as he realized it was true.
Thanks for the training. Now, another word, and you'll get to experience, how did you put it? The worst 5 minutes of your life.
How can...
Thomas pulled the trigger. The high-pitched sound filled the room, followed by the launch of a grenade. It hit the man's chest and exploded in a brilliant display of electricity. He screamed as he fell to the ground, convulsing, smoke streaming off his hair and clothing. The room filled with an awful smell, a stench that reminded Thomas of the Scorch, when Minho was struck by lightning.
That can't feel good, Thomas said to his friends.
He sounded so calm to his own ears that it disturbed him. As he watched their nemesis twitch, he was almost ashamed for feeling no guilt. Almost.
It supposedly won't kill him, Brenda said.
That's a shame, Minho replied.
He stood after tying up the uninjured guard with his belt.
The world would have been better off.
Thomas turned his attention from the twitching man at his feet.
We're leaving, now.
I'll bloody drink to that, Newt said.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Minho added.
They all turned to look at Brenda. She lifted her launcher in her arms and nodded. She looked ready for a fight.
I hate these people just as much as you, she said.
I'm in.
For the second time in the last few days, Thomas was filled with that foreign feeling of happiness. Brenda was back. He glanced at Jansen. The crackling static was beginning to die. The man's eyes were closed, and he'd finally stopped moving, but he was still breathing.
I don't know how long a blast from one of these lasts, Brenda said, and he's definitely going to wake up angry. We better get out of here.
What's the plan? Newt asked.
Thomas didn't have a clue.
We'll make it up as we go.
Jorge's a pilot, Brenda offered. If we can somehow make it to the hangar, to his burg.
Before anyone could respond, shouts and footsteps sounded in the hall.
They're coming,
Thomas said. The reality of their situation hit him again. No one was going to let them just waltz out of the building. Who knew how many guards they'd have to get past?
Minho ran to the door and took a stance right next to it.
They'll all have to come right through here.
The sounds from the hallway were getting louder. The guards were close.
Newt, Thomas said. You get on the other side of the doorway. Brenda and I'll shoot the first couple who come through. You guys catch the rest from the sides, then get out into the hallway. We'll be right behind you.
They took their positions.
Chapter 13. Brenda's expression was a strange mixture of anger and excitement. Thomas readied himself next to her, gripping the launcher tightly in his hands. He knew it was a gamble to trust Brenda. He'd been tricked by nearly everyone in this organization. He couldn't underestimate Wicked. But she was the only reason they'd gotten this far, and if he was going to bring her along, he couldn't doubt her anymore. The first guard arrived, a man dressed in the same black gear as all the others, but with a different type of weapon, smaller and sleeker, held tightly in front of him. Thomas fired, watched the grenade connect with the man's chest. It sent him reeling backward, twitching and convulsing in a web of lightning. Two more people, a man and a woman, were right behind him with launchers raised. Minho acted before Thomas could. He grabbed the woman by the shirt and yanked her toward him, then swung her across his body and slammed her into the wall. She got off a shot, but the silvery grenade shattered harmlessly on the ground and sent a short burst of crackling energy along the tiled floor. Brenda fired at the man, hitting him in the legs. Tiny, jagged bolts of electricity shot up his body, and he screamed, falling back into the hallway. His weapon fell to the floor. Minho had disarmed the woman and forced her to kneel. He now held a launcher aimed at her head. A fourth man came through the door, but Newt knocked his weapon away and punched him in the face. He collapsed to his knees, holding a hand up to his bloodied mouth. The guard looked up as if to say something, but Newt stepped back and shot him in the chest. At such close range, the ball made a terrible popping sound as it exploded against the man. A wretched squeal escaped his throat as he fell to the floor, writhing in a web of pure electricity.
"That beetle blade's watching every bloody thing we do," Newt said.
He nodded towards something at the back of the room.
"We've got to get out of here. They're just going to keep coming."
Thomas turned to see the little robotic lizard crouched in place, red light beaming. Then he looked back at the doorway, which was empty. He faced the woman. The muzzle end of Minho's weapon hovered just inches from her head.
"How many of you are there?" Thomas asked her. "Are there more coming?"
She didn't respond at first, but Minho leaned forward until his gun was actually touching her cheek.
"There are at least 50 on duty," she said quickly.
"Then where are they?" Minho asked.
"I don't know."
"Don't lie to me," Minho shouted.
Something else is going on. I don't know what, I swear."
Thomas looked at her closely and saw more than just fear in her expression. Was it frustration? She seemed to be telling the truth.
"Something else. Like what?"
She shook her head.
"I just know that a group of us were called to a different section, that's all."
"And you have no idea why?"
Thomas threw as much doubt into his voice as possible. "I have a hard time believing that. I swear it."
Minho grabbed her by the back of the shirt and pulled her to her feet.
"We'll just take the nice lady here as a hostage, then. Let's go."
Thomas stepped in front of him.
"Brenda needs to lead. She knows the way around this place. Then me, then you and your new friend, then Newt in the rear."
Brenda hurried to stand beside Thomas.
"I still don't hear anybody, but we can't have long. Come on."
She peeked into the hallway, then slipped out of the room. Thomas took a second to wipe his sweaty hands on his pants, then gripped the launcher and followed her. She turned right. He heard the others fall in behind him. A quick glance showed that Minho's captor was running along too, looking none too happy with the threat of an electric bath just inches away. They reached the end of the initial hallway and made a right without stopping. Their new path looked exactly the same as the last, a beige alley stretching before them for at least 50 feet before it ended in a set of double doors. Somehow the scene made him think of that last stretch of the maze right before the cliff when he, Teresa, and Chuck had run for the exit while everyone else battled the Grievers to keep them safe. As they neared the doors, Thomas pulled the Ratman's keycard out of his pocket. Their hostage yelled to him,
"I wouldn't do that! I bet there are 20 guns waiting to burn you alive on the other side!"
But something about her tone sounded desperate. Could it be that Wicked had become overconfident and lax in their security? With only 20 or 30 teenagers left,
Surely they didn't have more than one security person for each of their subjects, if even that many. Thomas and his friends had to find Jorge in the Berg, but they also had to find everyone else. He thought of Frypan and Teresa. He wasn't going to leave them behind just because they'd chosen to get their memories back. He skidded to a stop in front of the doors and turned to face Minho and Newt.
"We've only got 4 launchers, and we better believe that there are more guards on the other side of those doors waiting for us. Are we up for this?"
Minho stepped up to the keycard panel, dragging the guard with him by the shirt.
"You're going to open this for us so we can focus on your buddies. Stand right there and don't do anything until we say. Don't mess with me."
He swiveled toward Thomas.
"Start shooting as soon as the doors crack."
Thomas nodded.
"I'll crouch. Minho, you lean over my shoulder. Brenda to the left and Newt to the right."
Thomas got down and stuck the point of his weapon right where the doors met in the center. Minho hovered above him, doing the same. Newt and Brenda got in position.
"Open on 3, Minho said. "And guard lady, you try anything or run away. I guarantee one of us will get you. Thomas, you count off."
The woman pulled out her keycard but said nothing.
1,
Thomas began.
2.
He paused, allowed himself a moment to suck in a breath, but before he could yell the last number, an alarm started blaring, and the lights went out. Chapter 14. Thomas blinked rapidly, trying to adjust to the darkness. The alarm rang in shrill, deafening bursts. He sensed Minho stand up, then heard him shuffling about.
"The guard's gone!" his friend shouted. "I can't find her!"
As soon as he said the last word, that sound of power charging filled the gaps between the whines of the alarm, followed by the pop of a grenade exploding against the ground. The bolts of electricity lit up the room. Thomas saw a shadowy figure running away from them back down the hall, gradually disappearing in the gloom.
"My fault," Minho muttered, barely audible. "Get back in position," Thomas said, fearing what the alarm might mean. "Feel for the crack where the door's open. I'll use the Ratman's keycard. Be ready."
He felt around on the wall until he found the right place, then swiped the card. There was an audible click, and one of the doors began to swing inward.
"Start shooting!" Minho shouted.
Newt, Brenda, and Minho began to launch grenades through the doorway into the darkness. Thomas carefully got into position and followed suit, shooting into the fray of dancing electricity that now crackled on the far side of the doors. It took a few seconds between rounds, but soon they had created a blinding display of light and explosions. There was no sign of people anywhere. No answering fire. Thomas let his gun drop to his side.
"Stop!" he yelled. "Don't waste any more ammunition!"
Minho let one last grenade fly, but then they all stood and waited for some of the energy to die down so they could safely enter the room. Thomas turned to Brenda, speaking loudly to be heard over the noise.
"We're a little short on memories. Do you know anything that'll help us? Where is everyone? Why the alarm?"
She shook her head.
"I have to be honest. Something definitely feels off."
"I bet this is another one of their bloody tests," Newt yelled. "All of this is meant to happen, and we're being analyzed all over again."
Thomas could barely hear himself think, and Newt wasn't helping. He held his launcher up and walked through the doorway. He wanted to get somewhere safer before the light from the grenade blasts disappeared entirely. From the shallow pool of his few returned memories, he knew he'd grown up in this place. He just wished he could remember the layout. He realized again how important Brenda was to their freedom. Jorge, too, if he was willing to fly them out of there. The alarm stopped.
"What?"
Thomas had started too loud and quieted himself.
"What now?" "They probably got sick of their ears bleeding from the noise," Minho answered. "Just because they turned it off doesn't mean anything."
The glow from the electric bolts had disappeared, but the room on this side of the doorway had emergency lights that cast everything in a red haze. They stood in a large reception area with couches and chairs and a couple of desks. Nobody was in sight.
"I've never seen one person in these waiting rooms," Thomas said, the space suddenly familiar. "The whole place is empty and creepy."
"It's been a long time since they've allowed visitors here, I'm sure," Brenda responded.
"What's next, Tommy?" Newt asked. "We can't just stand here all day."
Thomas thought for a second. They had to find their friends, but ensuring that they had a way out seemed the first priority.
"Okay," he said,
Brenda, we really need your help. We need to get to the hangar and find Jorge. Get him prepping a berg. Newt and Minho, you guys can stay with him for backup, and Brenda and I will search the place for our friends. Brenda, do you know where we can stock up on weapons?
Weapons depot's on the way to the hangar, Brenda said. But it's probably guarded.
We've seen worse, Minho offered.
We'll start firing till they drop or we drop.
We'll cut through 'em all, Newt added, almost with a growl. Every last one of those buggers.
Brenda pointed down one of two hallways that branched off the reception room.
It's that way.
Brenda led Thomas and his friends through turn after turn, the dull red emergency beacons lighting the way. They met no resistance, though every so often a beetle blade skittered by, click-clacking across the floor as it scurried along. Minho tried firing a shot at one of them, missing badly and almost scorching Newt, who yelped and wanted to fire back, judging by the look on his face. After a good 15 minutes of jogging, they reached the weapons depot. Thomas stopped in the hallway, surprised to find the door swung wide open. From what he could see, the shelves inside seemed fully stocked.
That does it, Minho said. No more doubt.
Thomas knew exactly what he meant. He'd been through too much not to.
Someone's setting us up, he muttered. Has to be, Minho added. Everyone suddenly disappears, doors are unlocked, weapons sitting here for us, and they're obviously observing us through those shuck beetle blades.
Definitely fishy, Brenda added.
At her voice, Minho turned on her.
How do we know you're not in on it?
He demanded. She answered in a weary voice.
All I can say is that I swear I'm not. I have no idea what's happening.
Thomas hated to admit it, but what Newt had hinted at earlier, that this whole escape so far might be nothing but an orchestrated exercise, was looking more and more likely. They'd been reduced once again to mice, scuttling about in a different kind of maze. Thomas hoped so badly that it wasn't true. Newt had already wandered into the weapons room.
Look at this, he called.
When Thomas entered the room, Newt was pointing to a section of empty wall space and shelves.
Look at the dust patterns. It's pretty obvious that a bunch of stuff was taken recently, maybe even within the last hour or so.
Thomas inspected the area. The room was pretty dusty, enough to make you sneeze if you moved around too much, but the spots Newt pointed out were completely clean. He was dead on.
Why is that so important? Minho asked from behind them.
Newt turned on him.
Can't you figure something out yourself for once, you bloody shank?
Minho winced. He looked more shocked than angry.
Whoa, Newt, Thomas said. Things suck, yeah, but slim it. What's wrong?
I'll tell you what's bloody wrong. You go all tough guy without a plan, leading us around like a bunch of chickens looking for feed, and Minho can't take a bloody step without asking which foot he should use.
Minho had finally recovered enough to get ticked.
Look, shuckface, you're the one acting like a genius because you figured out some guards took weapons from the weapons room. I thought I'd give you the benefit of the doubt, act like maybe you discovered something deeper than that. Next time I'll pat you on the freaking back for stating the obvious.
Thomas looked back at Newt in time to see his friend's expression change. He seemed stricken, almost teary.
I'm sorry, Newt murmured,
then turned and walked out of the room.
What was that? Minho whispered.
Thomas didn't want to say what he was thinking, that Newt's sanity was slowly being eaten away. And luckily he didn't have to. Brenda spoke up.
You guys were missing his point.
Which was? Minho asked.
There had to have been 2 or 3 dozen guns and launchers in this section, and now they're all gone, very recently, in the last hour or so, like Newt said.
Yeah? Minho prodded, just as it clicked for Thomas. Brenda held her hands out as though the answer should be obvious.
Guards only come in here when they need a replacement or want to use something besides a launcher. Why would they all need to do that at the same time? Today! And launchers are so heavy, you can't fire them if you're carrying another weapon, too. Where are the weapons they would have left behind?
Chapter 15. Minho was the first to offer an explanation.
Maybe they knew something like this might happen, and they didn't want to kill us. From the looks of it, unless you get it right in the head, those launcher things just stun you for a while.
so they all came and got those to use with their regular guns.
Brenda was shaking her head before he even finished.
No, it's standard for them to carry launchers at all times, so it doesn't make sense that they'd all come at once to get a new one. Whatever you think about Wicked, it's not their goal to kill as many people as possible, even when cranks break in.
Cranks have broken in here before? Thomas asked.
Brenda nodded. The more infected they are, the more past the gone, the more desperate they get. I really doubt the guards...
Minho interrupted her.
Maybe that's what happened. With all those alarms going off, maybe some cranks broke in and took whatever weapons were here, stunned people, then started eating their shuck bodies. Maybe we've only seen a few guards because the rest of them are dead.
Thomas had seen cranks past the gone, and the memories haunted him. Cranks who had lived with the flare infection so long that it had eaten away at their brains until they were completely insane, almost like animals in human form. Brenda sighed.
I hate to say it, but you might be right.
She thought a moment.
Seriously, that would explain it. Someone came in here and took a bunch of weapons.
An icy chill filled Thomas. If that's it, our problems are a whole lot worse than we thought.
Glad to see the guy not immune to the flare isn't the only one with a brain that still works.
Thomas turned to see Newt at the door.
Next time just explain yourself instead of getting all snippy,
Minho said, his voice empty of compassion.
I didn't think you'd lose it so fast, but glad you're back. We might need a crank to sniff out these other cranks if they really broke in.
Thomas winced at the cutting remark, looked at Newt for his reaction. The older boy wasn't happy. That was clear by his expression.
You never have known when to shut your hole, have you, Minho? Always gotta have the bloody last word.
Shut your shuck face, Minho replied.
His voice was so calm for a second that Thomas could have sworn Minho was losing it himself. The tension in the room was almost palpable. Newt slowly walked over to Minho and stopped in front of him. Then, quick as a striking snake, he punched him in the face. Minho staggered back and slammed into the empty weapons rack. Then he rushed forward and tackled Newt to the ground. It all happened so fast, Thomas couldn't believe it. He ran over and started pulling at Minho's shirt.
Stop!
He screamed. But the two gladers continued flailing at each other, arms and legs everywhere. Brenda stepped up to help, and she and Thomas eventually got solid enough grips to yank Minho to his feet, his fists still swinging wildly. A stray elbow smacked Thomas in the chin, sending a burst of rage through him.
How stupid can you get?
Thomas yelled, pinning Minho's arms behind his back.
We're running from at least one enemy, maybe two, and you guys are going to brawl?
He started it,
Minho snapped, spit spraying on Brenda. She wiped her face.
What are you, 8 years old? She asked.
Minho didn't answer. He struggled to free himself for a few more seconds before giving up. Thomas was sickened by the whole thing. He didn't know which was worse, that Newt seemed to be slipping already, or that Minho, the one who should have been able to control himself, was acting like such a slinthead. Newt got to his feet, gingerly touching a red spot on his cheek where Minho must have connected.
It's my fault. Everything's just ticking me off. You guys figure out what we should do. I need a bug and break.
And at that, he turned and walked out of the room again. Thomas blew out a breath of frustration. He let go of Minho and adjusted his own shirt. They didn't have time to dwell on petty arguments. If they were going to get out of there, they had to pull together and work as a team.
Minho, find a few more launchers for us to bring, and then get a couple of the pistols on that shelf over there. Brenda, can you fill up a box with as much ammo as possible? I'll go get Newt.
Sounds good,
she replied, already looking around. Minho didn't say a word, just started searching the racks. Thomas went out into the hall. Newt had taken a seat on the ground about 20 feet away and was leaning back against the wall.
Don't say a bloody word,
he grumbled when Thomas joined him. Great start, Thomas thought.
Listen, something weird's going on. Either Wicked is testing us, or we've got cranks running around this place killing people left and right. Whatever it is, we need to find our friends and get out of here.
I know.
That was it. Nothing else.
Then get up